Father, as we prepare to study your word and we dig into the depths of Ephesians, oh Lord God, what a powerful, powerful message for today. What a powerful book. Every single verse brings forth strength. It brings forth stability. It brings forth the missing pieces of our walk with you, Lord God. Pieces we didn't even know were missing are being filled in this hour. And I ask, Lord God, that as we press in and we spend these next few minutes in your word, that you would open up your word to us, bringing forth your divine revelation, impartation of your truth, and that it would anchor within us, Lord God, and be solidified and become a part of who we are and how we walk with you in the days ahead. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for your word. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and most holy name, amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. This book is, I see why the Lord had us begin studying Ephesians. I see it every time I read it, every day I do a lesson, every time I do a word study, I see the impact of Ephesians on our lives. All right, so in the book of Ephesians, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, please. This week, the Lord began to really impress upon me our inheritance. What is our inheritance? That word inheritance in the book of Ephesians, it's an heritage. It's a gift of God to his chosen people. In the Old Testament, it represented the promised land. In the New Testament, it's eternal blessedness. We have the release of our inheritance in him, in Christ. Now, as I began to study and I was poring over these scriptures, I saw various stages of the release of this inheritance. The Old Testament, we learned this in our covenant study, the Old Testament was about leading to the new covenant. The Old Testament was about God's chosen people and the promise that would come through his son, Jesus Christ. The New Testament is about the release of Jesus Christ, the promised Son, coming forth and bringing us our salvation. Through Jesus, by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Through Christ, that means anything, everything, all the things that we do must be done in Christ, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. That's one thing that we are learning. That's one thing that we strive for, is to remain humble, right? We work so hard at it, we can almost be prideful in our humility. I am one of the most humble people in the world. Yes, I am. It's prideful. It can sound prideful, even if we don't mean it to be prideful, even if we don't really feel it. But the reality of it is our lives demonstrate a person who is living wholly dependent in the inheritance granted to us by God. The more we depend on him, the more we rely on him for all that we do, all the steps that we take, all the decisions that we make, the more he shines in our lives and more we demonstrate our reliance upon him. True humility requires us to bow the knee in all things. All that we do in life and ministry, we must bow the knee. And when we can really bow the knee, and I mean really bow the knee, not tapping in to the, it's almost like we have to live our life on our knees. Because when we do this, and it's, and I know that's symbolic of something, it's symbolic of a position we take of humility. When we can really step into that place of humility and understand what true humility means, we are allowing God to flow through us. And when we can do that, the power of the living God can flow through us. When you move in high levels of ministry, and this is something that we've learned over the years, our time in ministry, when you move in high levels of ministry, high levels of warfare, we have to take extra precautions not to move into a place of pride, not to tap into or touch what God is doing through the work we're doing, whether it's through prayer at the gathering, whether it's through our corporate prayer calls, whether it's through our JA meetings, whether it's through the JA TCL training, whatever we are doing, we must lay ourselves down so that we can tap into the fullness of the inheritance granted to us, and the release of God can then pour through us. The more we go low, the greater the release of God that can come through us. And it's something that he's been showing me over the last 2 years in greater and greater revelation. It's really hard to even explain what that means, but it's like when you are in a fire and you're, what do they tell you to do? Drop, right? You, if you're in a house fire, what happens? The smoke rises. And if you walk through that fire, if you walk through the smoke, say the fire is in the kitchen, and you need to go out the back door so you can get to safety. The smoke rises and it begins to fill the house from the ceiling down. Well, if you stand up and you walk, you literally can choke to death on the smoke. You have to go low. You have to get on your hands and knees and crawl and get your way to that door so you can exit safely. And the same holds true with us in ministry and in our lives lived for God. We have to go low or we're going to get choked on the glory of God. We'll get choked on it because we will start to take into ourselves a dangerous level, a dangerous position. And I hope that I am making sense here, because what the Lord is speaking to me right now is that he will allow us to bring forth the glory, but if we choose to stand up in it, he will have to remove us from it. God is bringing forth a move of God in this nation and around the world that is going to be unlike anything we've ever tapped into before. It is part of the inheritance. It is part of the fullness of what's going to come. And if we don't learn to get on our hands and knees and crawl our way around, we're going to choke on it. Because he can't allow us to touch it. He can't allow us to take it and have it be a part of us. This is because of us mindset. We must, with all that we have, choose to stay low. It is for our very life that we choose to stay low. Because it is his glory that needs to flow. If we stand up, we're going to choke on it. If we stand up, we're going to get in the way of its flow. There is an inheritance, a release of the inheritance that's coming. It will knock you off your feet. It will be so powerful and come with such a force. His light will penetrate the body of Christ. In his light, there is no darkness. And he is calling forth a body. His body. From which his light can emanate. That's where he's calling us right now. Most Christians today live in the first level of their inheritance, salvation. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That's salvation. You know, we've been chosen. And this is written to Gentiles. We've been brought in, grafted into the vine. We've been adopted into the family of God. This is the first level of inheritance, and this is where most people walk. This is where they live. They got in the door. And this is where the body of Christ has been existing for centuries. But God is calling the body of Christ to rise up in the fullness of the inheritance of God. We talked about redemption before. In verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. That redemption is a winning back of what was previously forfeited. Redemption represents the distance between the believer and what previously enslaved them. What previously enslaved us? Sin. So redemption is the distance between when we got saved and where we are today. Where we got saved should look really, really tiny. It should be like a pin drop. But for many out there, there's hardly a change. But God is bringing forth his light. And we are going to start seeing transformation. Transformations that are so great, healing, deliverance, salvation, healing, and deliverance. That's going to take people from the point they got saved to where they're looking back at that day, and it is a pin drop because they're so far from it. The redemption has become so great in that space. They hardly remember the person they used to be because God has so transformed their lives. Now, for those that have been pressing in, longing for this place, pressing, day after day, year after year, decade after decade, we have been plowing the ground to make way for this. Plowing the ground. And the first fruits that will come from that will be powerful. But if we're really going to step into it, the fullness of it, we've got to stay on our hands and knees, lest we choke on the glory. So we've got these stages. First, the first stage of inheritance, we're brought in. We're brought into the kingdom. We get saved. Then we have the next stage, and that's the redemption. That's the process where we go from where we first got saved to where we are today. And I strongly encourage, because the Lord had me doing that over these last couple of weeks, strongly encourage you to assess that distance. And I mentioned this before a couple weeks ago. Assess the distance between point A and where you are today. But our inheritance, and that's what Ephesians goes on to say, that's what Paul says in Ephesians, our inheritance is to be so much deeper than this. But if we don't learn to stay on the ground, on our hands and knees, and have some distance in that redemption process, we don't get to tap into this. But for those that press in, there is something so profound awaiting them. Ephesians 1:9-13, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now those mysteries, that's the hidden things. But it comes by invitation only and can only be revealed by God. So if you want the mysteries of God, you need to accept the invitation and press in. People say, I want to know the deeper things of God. I want the revelation. How do I do it? Accept the invitation and press in, because these things are not unknowable, but they are only revealed by divine revelation, by God, by pressing into his word. So having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That word counsel is the purpose of God in respect to salvation of men through Christ. It's the contents of the divine plan. It's God's plan orchestrating every possible chance for us to receive salvation. So he worketh everything after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So you heard the gospel, you believed the gospel message, and you received the gift of salvation. What happens after that? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Remember the kings and the queens. They would take that wax and heat it up and put it on a letter, and then their seal would be stamped in that wax. It's a legal document. It's a signature. We sign them all too often. We sign them on our phones when we agree to this or that. We sign it when we get a car. We sign it when we buy a house. Our signature, that's us. If ever we decide to go to court, they're going to say, is this your signature? You're going to say, yes, well, this is a legal document then. We are signed, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What is the Holy Spirit of promise? Verse 14, the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is a down payment. That word, which is the earnest or pledge of our inheritance, it's the promise of our inheritance, it's the down payment of our inheritance. When we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is a down payment of the power and the authority that is to come. And the greater the distance between the day we get saved and where we are today, that is the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit that we will walk in. People say, I want to move in God like that. How's your redemption process? It doesn't just happen. By grace we are saved by faith, not of works, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. But the power and the authority that we can walk in the Holy Spirit is based on the level of redemption process. And the greater your redemption, the greater the humility you will live in. Because you will see the sin that your flesh represents. The more we study His Word, the more time we spend in prayer, the greater our redemption process, the more our need for Him increases. Sometimes Fred says, you be, me do. We have to come to a place where we are the person, where we are wholly submitted to God so that He can move through us. Because it isn't about us. It's about Him. Everything that we do, every step that we take, every piece of ministry we engage in is about Christ moving through us. When people look at us, they need to see Christ. They need to hunger for Christ. They need to long not for what we have, but for more than what we have. Christ. Christ. The inheritance. The depth of the inheritance. The depth of the inheritance that He has promised. Skip down to verse 16. This is Paul. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is what his prayer is, and we've talked about this. We're going to talk about it some more. This is Paul's prayer for the saints at Ephesus, and this should be our prayer for ourselves every single day. Anyone that we lead to the Lord, anyone that we mentor, anyone that we are over, whether it is one person, a PCM, because we're a PCL, or whether it is all of the PCLs and PCMs, we need to be praying this for those entrusted into our care. That the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This word knowledge is a firsthand experience of God, especially the knowledge of His holy will and of the blessings which He has bestowed and constantly bestows on men through Christ. This intensifies gnosis, this epigenosis. So this intensifies gnosis, which means knowledge gained through firsthand relationship. This is something, Paul's prayer for them, is something that can only be gained through firsthand relationship. We can't give it to somebody else. We can impart to them what God gives to us, but what they do with it and what it does in their lives, that's between them and God. Will they take it to the next level? Will they go deeper? Will they press in for the revelation of their own so that they can have the first-hand knowledge? There is nothing like first-hand experience. Nothing like first-hand experience. You can get a book and read about building a house. But when you go over to the lumber yard and you pick up that lumber and you go get your nails, you clean off your little plot of land and you start building, what you read in that book and what you're able to do with your hands is going to be two completely different things. By the time you're done, you're going to be afraid to put your dog in that thing. Because what you need to do is take what's in the book and go and sit under someone, work under someone, become an apprentice to someone that can walk you through the steps, the measuring, the cutting, everything that you need to do. You can go, you can clear your plot of land. You say, well, I want a concrete subfloor. Okay, pour the concrete. Once that concrete hardens and you get ready to put your house and your wood and all your other stuff on there, you realize, maybe I should have put the plumbing in there while the ground was available to me. And you're going to be breaking up that concrete so you can dig and you can put your plumbing in place. But if you're working under someone, you're learning from their experience. Their experience starts to become part of your experience. And you learn these very hard lessons without wasting your money. You begin to learn the steps to building a house. And I can promise you it's not going to happen in a week. It takes days and weeks and months and even years before you can build a house of your own. My chiropractor in Fresno, he really just could do anything. He was very handy, not just, you know, adjusting spines, but he's a very handy person. And he could do any kind of electrical. He could do any kind of construction. He was in construction for a season of time while he was working to be a chiropractor. And he bought this piece of property, and he decides he's going to build a house for himself. And I remember going to see him for my adjustments. And I remember I began to watch this man. Now he's retired now, but I began to watch this man as the wear and tear of building his own house, going through the permitting process, going through the mistakes, undoing the mistakes, fixing the mistakes, bringing the people back out, the county back out to sign off on this permit, that job, this step, that step. I saw it begin to wear on him. It took years for that house to finally be done. Years. And it turned out beautiful, really beautiful. He did a beautiful job. His sons helped him. It was a beautiful job. But I asked him when it was all said and done. I'd always go in and ask for an update on the house. How's it going? We're done. And I thought, maybe you need the adjustment, not me. He was so worn. I said, would you ever do it again? He said, absolutely not. This was the hardest thing I've ever done. The hardest thing I've ever done. Now, he had worked in different pieces of building houses over the years. He had been very handy. He had done all kinds of things. I mean, he really, really is a very handy man. But when it came to doing start to finish, because he had not been a contractor all his life, because he had not been in construction all his life, it took from him. It took strength from him. It took energy from him. It drained him. But when we can come under someone and be taught by them, we can get the impartations of it until we are ready to step out on our own. It takes years and years to get to that place. Years of the work of the Lord. Years of staying low so God can move in you. Years of allowing him to be your master, and you are the apprentice. The truth is, God brings people in our lives to teach us and take us to this level, and then this level, and this level. And he may bring you into the lives of other people, various people, to learn a lesson. It may be a month, it may be 3 years, whatever it is. But regardless of who is your mentor at the time, your master teacher must always be the Lord. We never come out from under his tutelage. We never come out from under the impartation of the inheritance that he wants to give us. Our dependence must be wholly on him. Our experience, firsthand experience, comes from working with him each and every day, learning from him, learning what steps to take in our lives. When we make the mistakes, we bow the knee and let him make the adjustment in our lives. He'll use other people to help make those adjustments. We submit to it, and we continue to move forward. Because if we're going to have the firsthand knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to stay low, consistently, continuously seeking out the next piece of our inheritance. He prays that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. This is a critical thinking. Critical thinking process. Someone used to tell me that the weak-minded were the Christians. So then you don't really know mature Christians. We accept by faith what Jesus did for us. That's absolutely true. But he wants us to know why we're saved. He wants us to know the God who saved us. He wants us to walk in the knowledge, the wisdom, the revelation, the understanding, the critical thinking process of our salvation. He doesn't want a bunch of dummies running around there. What he wants, he doesn't want a bunch of mindless drones out there. What he wants is when someone comes up and they challenge our faith or they want to know this or that, we know through the power of the Lord God, through our experience, through our critical thinking process, through every step that we've taken, how to respond to that person in love. Imparting a piece of our inheritance into their lives. I talked before about us taking this knowledge that we're gaining through our study of the Word. Prayer takes it back down to the heart. But God wants it to flow back up and down, up and down, up and down, because he will use it for his glory. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This power, this dunamis power, is a divine power acting on the minds of those who believe. He will strengthen our mind. I'm going to say that again. Dunamis power. He will strengthen our mind. We are not mindless drones following after a man who died 2,000 years ago. Because we have the power of the living God, the same God that raised him from the dead to save our soul from sins, operating in and through us. And we know it, experientially know it, by the impartation through the study of the Word, through our time in prayer what that really means. And that same power that flowed through Christ when he raised him from the dead flows through us. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. Verse 20 again, which he wrought, that same power, that dunamis power, the might of his strength, it is divine strength. It's superhuman strength. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. That dunamis is a power of angels, and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead resides in us. We are in a season of warfare. We are fighting for nations. We are fighting for the souls of our loved ones. We are fighting. It is a spiritual warfare. And if we don't understand the power that we are engaging with up there, we're going to be taken out by it. That's why we go low, because it is not in our own strength that we engage in that power. It is his power flowing through us. We stay low. He gets the glory, and we win those battles. These dominions, this is up in the heavenly places. I'm not talking about where, you know, God and where no sin abounds. I'm talking the heavenlies, the spiritual realm. The place where we do the warfare against the principalities over nations, the principalities over our families, the principalities that are keeping people in bondage. Understanding our inheritance, that we can tap into that inheritance right now. The greater the distance in our redemption, the point we got saved into where we are, the greater the authority, the greater the dunamis power of God resides in us. The greater the distance. That's why when we do Joel's Army interviews, we would never put a new believer as a PCL, a prayer cell leader. Because that's warfare. You might as well just put some barbecue sauce on them and throw them out to the wolves. We can't do that to them. They need to be strengthened. They need to be mature to be a prayer cell leader. If people are going through emotional difficulties, if people are struggling through, you know, even mental issues, if people are going through a deep level of inner healing, I encourage them to stay home. Because the warfare we engage in at the GOEs is so powerful. The enemy looks for weaknesses. It is a power force in that spiritual realm. God is wanting us to recognize that, to appreciate it for what it is, to respect it for what it is, so that when we take to that battle, we are covered, we are clothed. He starts with this prayer, and he ends what? Put on the armor of God, because it will protect you. You can stand, you can stand against the enemy if the armor is in place. We are moving into heavier and heavier and heavier warfare, which is why there needs to be less of us and more of him. It is his strength, his power, his dunamis power operating through us. It deserves awe, respect, honor. I remember, you know, and I did this last two GOEs when we started them out. I remember when we would do the GOEs and Mom would have us spend 10, 20 minutes, go low, repent, let God show you the things that might interfere with what we're about to do. If there's pride, if there's unforgiveness, if there's sin in our lives, lay it at the foot of the cross, then it will protect you in the warfare we're about to engage in. It's crucial. It's crucial if we're going to function in the fullness of the inheritance, that we live our lives like that. Paul says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. He's saying, clean it up every day. Every day, submit it to him. Every day, clean up your side of the street. Every day, if you want to function in the fullness of the inheritance granted to us, every day we got to clean it up. Because the enemy is looking for weaknesses, and he will exploit them. Oh, man, will he ever. I thought about the talents. The master that was going away and gave the talents to the servants. He gave 5 to 1, 2 to 1, and 1 to the third one. And when he came back, he asked them what they did with them. And I thought about the layers of inheritance. And, that beginning salvation, then the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and then really moving into a fullness of the understanding of our inheritance. And I thought the one who got one talent, he just got in the door. You know, he saved. But he buried his talent in the ground. The point of salvation, there was no redemption, you know, distance. There was no distance between the point where he said the sinner's prayer and where he was that day. The one who got the two talents, he's got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the impartation of the Spirit. He's sealed, and he's moving along. He's using what he knows. He's walking in the inheritance he's aware of. And he's, even though he's been given a piece of his inheritance today, the two talents, he doubles them. This is important to me. I'm going to work in it. I'm going to multiply it because it's important in the kingdom. It's important in the future. So I'm going to work on this. I'm going to sow into it. I'm going to put some time into it. And then there's ones that got the 5 talents. These are the ones that understand the fullness of the inheritance to come, that walk in the fullness of the power of the living God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. They understand they're part of the body with Christ as the head. And they strive to use every one of those talents, pouring into it knowing that the multiplication of those talents means a multiplication of the inheritance in the kingdom of God. They see the fullness of it. They get it. They get the importance of being an active member of the body of Christ, of flowing in the power of God, of pressing in, of going low so the glory can rise. And they don't have to worry about choking on it because they've stayed low. They've stayed low. They understand the fullness of the inheritance. That's where God is calling us. The fullness of his inheritance. To embrace it. the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to experientially know what this means. That's where God is calling us in this hour. This is no longer the hour of just getting in the door. This is the hour of making it all the way across the finish line. This is the hour where we fight principalities in the heavenly realms. You can't do that if you're not walking in the fullness of the inheritance. It's too dangerous. Every day I say, Lord, help me to walk there. Help me to grasp it. Help me to know it. Help me to experientially understand the fullness of this. Help me never to take it for granted, but to always press in every single day, pouring into my talents what you've given me so that it can multiply. And do what you've created it to do. This is something we have to ask ourselves. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the inheritance granted to us. I thank you for the depths that's available to us. Help us to hunger for the deepest, deepest levels, Lord God, of what is available to us. Help us to ache for it, to crave it, to long for it. Help us, Lord God. Help us to experientially know what that means, to experientially understand what that means. That it would strengthen our spirits, Lord God, that it would strengthen our minds, Lord God. That we would know the fullness of what it means to be the body of Christ, with Him as the head. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your revelation. I thank you for your understanding. I thank you for the knowledge that you so willingly grant us. I thank you. In your precious and holy name, amen.